Matthew chapter 1. Now, when you read the Gospels, for example, the Gospel according to Matthew, you wonder, how did this come into existence? Well, it was all inspired by God. It was written by God under inspiration. But I think the idea was that when Jesus had ascended to heaven, men like Matthew and Luke and John went around preaching. And they started telling people the story of Jesus as they had personally experienced it. And then over time, the story that they told was written down, I guess under the process of inspiration, whereby God put his spirit in men so that what they spoke and what they wrote was his word, although it was his word through their mouths. So, they all start with this point that Jesus really was human, that he was not God, and that he was descended from people, that he was related to men like David and Abraham, to whom God had made these great promises in the Old Testament. So he was the seed or the descendant of Abraham and David. So, this is the list of the ancestors of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, right at the start of the New Testament, if you imagine opening the New Testament for the first time, you read that Jesus was son of David and son of Abraham. From Abraham to King David, the following ancestors were: Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah and his brothers, then Perez and Zerah, their mother was Tamar, Hezron, Ram, Aminadab, Nahshon, Salmon, Boaz, whose mother was Rahab, Obed, whose mother was Ruth, Jesse and King David. Well, if you look at that list, you'll see the importance of women, and you'll see a number of those people were not Jews. They were Gentiles. Think of Rahab and Ruth, and a number of them behaved in a way that was immoral at different times. Think of King David, think of Tamar, think of Judah. And I think the point is that Jesus had in his background all sorts of strange people. So we can't blame our weakness, our bad behavior on family or whatever, because he had plenty of bad stuff back in his sort of genetic past. From David to the time when the Israelites went into exile in Babylon, we have the following: David, Solomon, whose mother was the woman who had been the wife of Uriah. So again, you see there's a mention of weakness there. Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Jehoram, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, Jehoiachin, and his brothers. And then from the time after the exile in Babylon, at the time of the restoration to the birth of Jesus, the following: Jehoiachin, Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, Abiud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Achim, Eliud, Eleazar, Mathan, Jacob, and Joseph, who married Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was called the Messiah. So then there were 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the exile in Babylon, and 14 from then to the birth of the Messiah. So he lists 42 generations, just as there were 42 stopping places for Israel in their journey through the wilderness, in that long list of them that you have in Numbers. This was how the birth of Jesus Christ happened. His mother, Mary, was promised to Joseph as a wife, but before they got married and came together, she realized that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Joseph was a just man and one who wanted to do what was truly right, and so he did not want to shame Mary publicly, because it looked, of course, like she'd not been faithful to him and had gone off with someone else. But you see a lovely side to his character there. He did not want to shame her. So when people sin, or you think they've sinned, in this case she hadn't, but when even you think people sinned, it's not for you to try to shame them. Love protects, even when the person that you're protecting has sinned. So it's not that we don't want to deal with sin or that we shouldn't deal with consequences of misbehavior, but on the other hand, you should never wish to shame somebody in this wrong sense. And so he made plans to just quietly break off their commitment to each other in marriage. While he was thinking about it, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, you son of David, don't be frightened to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Spirit." Now, the Holy Spirit is the power of God. "She will have a son, and you will call him Jesus," which means literally Yehoshua, the Savior of Yah, Yah's salvation, God's salvation. "You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins." All this happened so that what the Lord had said through the prophet would come true. A virgin will become pregnant and will have a child, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So when Joseph awoke, he took Mary unto him as the angel of the Lord had told him, but he did not have any sexual relations with her before she gave birth to her son, and Joseph called him Jesus. So Joseph did not have an easy time in all this, especially as everyone at the time would have said, "Oh, that girl you're marrying, she's not a good woman. You know, she's become pregnant, not by you, but by some other guy." And for him to say, "Well, no, God told me it was by the Holy Spirit," everyone would have laughed at him. So Joseph, like Mary, really did believe God's word. For him to believe that this is what had happened. You can imagine Joseph probably had parents who were alive, or at least a family around him, and they'd have been like, "Oh yeah, Joseph's getting married to this girl called Mary, yeah, nice girl." And then, "Oh, do you know what? She's pregnant. She's expecting a baby, but yeah, not by Joseph." They'd have all said, "Ah, Joe, don't get with her. Just break it off with her. She's a bad woman." And he'd have had to say to them, "No, this is by the Holy Spirit. I had a dream and an angel told me this." And everyone would have been like, "Oh, yeah, since when does a woman get pregnant without a man?" So it's the same, really, with Mary. It would have been very difficult for her. And yet she's extremely joyful in Luke when she gets the news that she's having the baby. And she even thanks God for answering her prayers, as if she'd actually prayed for this to happen. So to believe in God's word and to obey it and to accept it and all that it implies is not easy, and it has some pretty big implications.